welcome along to this week's assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and once again, I'm joined by Mark Langdon and Dan Charles to go through this weekend's Premier League and EFL fixtures. It's been a really hectic midweek of Premier League action, of course. We're recording this on Thursday before a couple of other Premier League games take place. But we wanted to touch upon one of the questions that we've had in recently from one of our followers in terms of the assist. And he did actually start with the comment, this might be a silly question. There's no such thing as a silly question on the assist. But he says, does the wind and rain affect the number of goals? I know it does in rugby. Far fewer points scored when there is rain. Mark, we'll start with you with this one. I mean, the weather at this time of year obviously does have an impact in terms of UK football, and especially the last couple of weeks we've had numerous storms, winds blowing at 60, 70 miles an hour. How does that impact in terms of betting?
Yeah, I mean, well, even today, really windy outside. I think, look, first of all, it's really hard to quantify. So I don't think you can sort of say, you know, like, rainfall equals fewer goals, for instance. There just isn't enough evidence out there really to make it sort of a scientific fact or something you can really focus in. I think there are two things. One, I would say that wind is more important than rain. I think anybody that's even tried to play football when it's really windy, you know, it's difficult to if you're playing into the wind, but it can be just as tough sometimes playing with it and sort of controlling what you're doing. So I do think that I'd be less likely to sort of back an overs if I knew it was going to be really windy. I think with the rain, the one for me there is lower down the football pyramid is not necessarily the rain itself, but what that does to the pitch long term. And I think that that can be important. Like, so know your pitches, and so watching the highlights and seeing when they're playing in an absolute bog, because that does become more difficult, I think, to score goals. So it's not in the individual moments of the rain, but I think that sort of cumulative sort of wet weather that can damage a pitch then makes it harder, particularly for certain, you know, teams. And you know, Dan gets very close into sort of, you know, all the nuances of, you know, which teams like to play their football, who are the more direct ones. And I think that sort of the winter months can hinder some teams in that regard. I would just say from what we do know is that towards the end of the season, goals sort of tallies go up. And that tends to be in sort of some of the better wind, the better summer months, isn't it? Because, you know, it might be too hot in August, but you're really able to play your football and sort of in nice temperatures in April and May. But that's usually, I think, sort of, you know, seen as, you know, what teams need to do because they're desperate for the points that it brings about higher scoring games rather than the weather.
As our EFL expert, Dan, like, you'll have obviously more of an interest in terms of the fixtures and the games and the stadiums that they're being played in with the weather, that impact your thoughts as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you've just mentioned it, the stadiums, Warren, if it's certainly at the lower league grounds that are more exposed if you've got windy conditions, I would take that into consideration, especially Mark mentioned about if you're backing over goals. I think if you're backing quite a short price favourite as well on an exposed ground where it's, you know, blowing a gale, then I would, you know, think twice then maybe, you know, then about the bet, because it does, I think, you know, kind of even the game up a bit. As Mark said, if you're trying to play football in a gale, it's just not easy to create. You know, if the wind's behind you, the ball often blows out of play, balls forward. If you're playing into the wind, it's often hard to get out against a team that presses you. So that would be my thought. So there's no data, so it's very hard to quantify. I think with the rain, I'm not sure that makes, sometimes teams like having a slick surface, don't they, to knock it about. And I think pitches generally are better, although, again, lower down the leagues, less so.
Yeah, although I would say I think League Two pitches in particular have improved massively over recent years. We are going to have some more stormy conditions this weekend, so it is something to factor in. If you want to get your questions in, of course, for the guys, then you can head to the comments section on YouTube. But for now, we're going to focus on the big match of the weekend, and that is the Merseyside Derby, which takes place at 12:30 on Saturday. Goodison Park is the venue. Could be, of course, the final Merseyside Derby at Goodison Park, with Everton set to move to their new stadium next season. In terms of the prices, well, Everton are 6-1 to win the game. It's 15-4 the draw and 21-50 Liverpool. Mark, we'll start with you with this one. As I say, the last ever game at Goodison is going to have a bit of sentiment around it, but it's also going to have Everton, you would think, really up for trying to win this match.
Yeah, last league derby there. I mean, they might get each other in the FA Cup, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But for all intents and purposes, this is the last fixture between the two great rivals at Goodison. I definitely think that it will play a part. I was I went to the Spurs-West Ham final game at Upton Park, which was in, like, I think, the March of the of West Ham's last season at Upton Park, and it was an absolute cesspit for that game. There's no doubt about that, and it was difficult. And West Ham won the game, and I think that the crowd definitely will get involved. Liverpool have struggled at Goodison, even despite being a much better team than Everton over the last decade. So, the fact that Everton will be buoyed by what's happened, by beating Wolves so convincingly in midweek as well. Liverpool are running the gauntlet in this game, and it's probably a game that's harder for Liverpool than what the league table would suggest that it should be.
And Everton, Dan, couldn't have asked for better preparation ahead of this game. A 4-0 thumping of Wolves on Wednesday evening. Sean Dyche will be buoyed by that performance.
Yeah, I mean, they've gone from drawing a lot of games, haven't they? He's sort of tightened them up. Then they had that heavy defeat at United, and then bounced back with a excellent win against Wolves. I do think this is a game that Everton will be relishing, looking forward to. The record, I mean, I'll just mention it. The last 12 Premier League home games against Liverpool, one Everton win, 9 draws, only 2 Liverpool wins. So it's clearly a very, very tough place for Liverpool to go to. We were 5-0 in that group of 12 games as well. So it shows you how tight the games tend to be. Not great one for the neutrals, watching it. But the crowd at Goodison, I've been to Goodison to watch Spurs, and the crowd there, everyone talks about the atmosphere there. It really is. They're right on top of the pitch there, and I think they'll miss it when they move as well. It'll be interesting to see what happens to Everton's home form, when they move stadiums.
Going off Liverpool's midweek performance, Mark, I suppose there's a few question marks for Arne Slot to answer before the game. One in particular is probably what he does with his goalkeepers, as it looks like Alisson might be back.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the Guardian Football Weekly podcast after Liverpool beat Real Madrid, and there was a question in from a listener saying, what do Liverpool do in terms of Keller or Alisson? Because Keller played very well. Mm. And I'd said at that time, you just bring Alisson back as soon as he's fit, because he's a better goalkeeper. And while Keller has covered well, you just want your best goalkeeper in there. And I don't think you go on sort of recent form, given you go on just the fact that Alisson's been outstanding for however many years, and sort of, he's out of the team because of injury rather than letting the side down. And then Kelleher had been playing so well and then makes that big mistake that cost the team 2 points at Newcastle, really late on. Just, I don't know if he misjudged it or had a brain sort of freeze for a moment. But, it was a bad moment for him. I don't know to what extent sort of Alisson is fully fit. He needs to be fully fit. But as soon as he is, he should come back into the team. And that's got nothing to do with the mistake that Kelleher made against Newcastle. You just give yourself the best chance of winning by putting your best goalkeeper on the pitch.
I mean, you've already alluded to it, Dan, that the atmosphere will play a big part in Saturday's game. I was doing an article the other day about how many red cards there have been in the Merseyside derby. I just wonder how fierce and whether we could expect another raft of yellows and maybe even a red on Saturday.
Quite possibly, but I do think that Sean Dyche will probably be mentioning that to the players. He's quite big on discipline, and so I think he'll want them to be, aggressive and press at the right times. I think you can go overboard with a pressing against a very good side like Liverpool, but they'll certainly look to make life uncomfortable without doing something that might, possibly cost them the game. But I certainly don't think it'll be an easy afternoon for Liverpool.
Well, let's get to the best bets then for Mark and Dan this weekend. We'll start off with this Merseyside derby clash. And how are you looking at this, Mark? I mean, Everton 6-1 is a huge price at home in a derby game.
I'm hear what you're saying, Warren. I'm going to go for Liverpool to win an under 3.5 goals. So that's, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to disagree. I think that, you know, there's a big class difference between the two teams. There has been before, and Liverpool have struggled with that. I actually feel like Slot's more methodical football. I know they were involved in a 3-3 draw on Wednesday, but that's not really been typical of their performances, really, under Slot. It might suit them slightly more than sort of what Klopp used to do, when it just got really sort of too fast and too frantic in this derby. I think that Liverpool will take a more sort of calmer approach, if that's at all possible, in the derby, and then their class can tell. And if we take away the fact they conceded 3 goals against Newcastle, you know, outside of that, they've been really strong defensively this season in the Premier League. I don't see where Everton's goals are coming from, particularly seeing as Craig Dawson isn't allowed to play for them in this game after his boo-boos on in midweek. So, it was only a few days ago they were getting turned over 4-0 at Old Trafford. I don't expect it to be high scoring, not expecting it to be wide margin. I am expecting a Reds win.
Yeah, and the lack of goals, Dan, will be a concern for Everton, especially as Liverpool seems to have plenty in the locker.
Yeah, I just think normally when you're trying to work a bet out, I don't really pay much attention to sort of head-to-head form. I think in derbies, I think you do have to pay a little bit more attention to it. I mean, that stats that I was mentioning, that Liverpool won twice in the last 12 Premier League visits, you know, on each of those occasions, they would have been the better side, and they've only got 2 wins. Now, to me, that's massively concerning if you're looking at, you know, get behind them at, you know, quite a short odds on price. I'm just prepared to go the other way. I'm going to go Everton or draw, double chance. They're going to be really boosted by that, 4-0 win at home to Wolves. They're unbeaten in 6 games at home now, so as things stand. So they are, you know, they're tough to play against. There, being their last home game at Goodison is a big deal. Liverpool, I've not been totally sold on them away from home as well. Some of their, what you would say, easier away fixtures, they've had narrow wins. The 2-1 win at Wolves, they weren't that convincing. 1-0 at Palace. The 3-2 at Southampton that I watched, that, you know, could easily have lost that game. Southampton had, you know, ended a habit of a lifetime of shooting themselves in the foot. And the Newcastle game, the 3-3, and look at the shot stats, 17-16 in Newcastle's favour. They're not totally convincing for me on the road. So I'm going to go with Everton or draw, double chance.
Okay, a difference of opinion then between Mark and Dan ahead of the Merseyside derby. Just to remind you, it's Saturday at 12:30, that clash at Goodison Park. After the game, there will be 3 3:00 kickoffs in the top flight, and we'll start off in chronological order and alphabetical order in terms of rounding up the rest of the weekend's games. And Aston Villa play host to Southampton at Villa Park, a 19-50 price for Aston Villa are in some quarters. 11-2 Southampton, 17-4 the draw. Dan, Villa back to winning ways. Have they turned the corner, or is this a chance maybe for Southampton to sneak a rare point or so on the road?
I think Villa probably have turned the corner. I think they'll probably win the game. I mean, that price you mentioned, though, Warren, 19-50. I mean, that's, you know, that's shorter than 2-5. That seems a bit short to me. I think they'll probably win, but I would go for another, you know, a bigger odds on price, around 4-6 for both teams to score. Villa, you fancy him to, you know, to score a couple of goals in this one. Ollie Watkins, you know, on the score sheet after a bit of a barren spell recently in the week, got a nice 3-1 win at home to Brentford. Southampton, you know, they're poor at the back, but they have got 3 key players coming back from suspension. Diblin, who I really like the look of this season. Howell Bellis and Flynn Downs back for them. That will give them a bit of a boost. And they do tend to score. They've scored in 6 of their last 8 away games. So I think they'll score here, but probably lose.
Matt, you've already mentioned Southampton. Also, Dan mentioned shooting themselves in the foot, Southampton. I mean, they did it again against Chelsea in midweek. I mean, how many times can they do it? Are they just going to carry on the way they're going at the moment?
Well, they're not going to change under Russell Martin. You know, he believes in this style of football. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't believe in Stevens pulling Kukurea's hair and getting sent off. That wasn't probably part of his pre-game chat. I mean, he'll say that look how they played at Brighton when, you know, on another day they might have won that game with the VAR call that went against them. And, you know, even if they try to sort of shut up shop, like, they just their players aren't as good as most of the others teams in the Premier League, and so they'd probably go down. So he's going to stick to his principles. I think for this game, Villa and over 2.5 goals is the way that I'm looking. I think Villa had a lot of tough games during this bad spell for them. You know, Tottenham, Liverpool, Chelsea away. They played Juventus in the Champions League. Back to winning ways against Brentford. And, you know, if you have a look at Southampton, you know, they are just they're capable of scoring. But, I mean, you got two ways of this bet winning. I think it could finish something like 3-1 or could finish something like 5-0. That's why I went for Villa and over 2.5 rather than Villa and both teams to score, just in case Southampton have a bad day in front of goal. I still think that the line might be covered.
The GTEC Community Stadium is the next venue for us to focus on as Brentford take on Newcastle at 3 o'clock. The Bees 9-5, Newcastle 13-10, and the draw 13-5. I was impressed with what I saw of Newcastle in midweek against Liverpool, Mark, but as we've said on numerous occasions, they're a different beast on the road than they are at St James's Park. And there's an argument to say that Eddie Howe's men seem to raise their game for the better teams.
Yeah, I'm struggling to get excited about Newcastle's favourites to win this game. I don't tend to go mad on home and away form, but clearly Newcastle, with the backing they've got at St James's, have been able to put Liverpool and Arsenal, Man City, Tottenham under pressure away from home. I mean, the performance of Palace in last week, absolutely shocking. Lost the shot count 16-1, no shots on target. And I think the XG, was it 0.02, 0.03, something like that. Nearly got a win because of the own goal from Gabe, but definitely didn't deserve it. And I won't go overboard about Brentford's home form, because I think the schedule has played a fair part of that. If you have a look at it, they've beaten a lot of the teams sort of down at the bottom of the table, and Newcastle are better than most of those. I don't trust Newcastle away from home, so I'm going Brentford draw, no bet.
Brentford, as Mark sort of suggested, they're a really decent home form. 6 wins, 1 draw so far. Is this going to be another point at least, or 3 points picked up for the Bees, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to just go for the Brentford to win. I mean, you can. I do agree that their home form, as it is probably definitely not sustainable, given that they've got lots and lots of the tough fixtures to come. But you can only, you know, play what's in front of you. It's still a fantastic effort to, you know, to take, what, 19 points from a possible 21 at home, more points than any other team at home in the league at the moment. And yeah, I just think that, yeah, their style of play that they press teams, they put plenty of balls into the box. They've got pace on the counter attack. I just think that, you know, they're gonna cause they cause every team that visits their ground problems, and I think they'll cause problems for Newcastle. And Newcastle away from home, only 2 away wins. They got the 2-1 win at Wolves, where they were quite poor actually, despite getting that win. Their only, I would say, decent away performance was a 3-1 win at Forest. So not enough good away performances for Newcastle. I think they're vulnerable here.
Okay, the third and final 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday sees Crystal Palace against Manchester City at Selhurst Park. Palace 17-4. The draw is 3-1, and City 4-7. City back to winning ways down on Wednesday with that victory over Nottingham Forest. I think possibly telling factor was that Kevin De Bruyne was more involved, of course. He's got a decent goal scoring record at Selhurst Park as well. Will he take them to another victory?
I'm not so sure. I mean, obviously, it's a big moment when you've been on such a bad run and you get that win. But I don't think you suddenly go from how they've been to overnight being the City of old. I mean, you actually dig a little bit deeper, and the, you know, shot count 17-12 in the game. You know, that's not really, you know, getting back to the sort of anywhere near the City dominance of old. And I think the flip side is that Palace, they are starting to improve a little bit. Eze's got, you know, back in and around the team. Ismail Assar, who I rate, is improving, having more of an influence. Mateta, you know, got his goal against Ipswich, did well from last season. And they are, that was a deserved win at Ipswich. Other teams have struggled to win there. So I think they can cause City problems. City did pick a couple of injuries up in that midweek game as well to Akanji and Aki. And I don't think there's certainties here by any means. So I'm going to go with the draw.
What about you, Mark? City back, or is it just temporary?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say they're back, but I think that they're backable. I think if you chop around, you might be able to get a bit of 8 to 13. Got a very good record at Selhurst with 8 wins in 10. And I just feel like when you, and Dan mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I think it was over Wolves, when you've been on a bad run, like just getting that first win is really important. And I think that would have done them the world of good. They obviously weren't, once they got in front against Forest, it was make sure this doesn't happen again after against Feyenoord. So that might have been a reason for the sort of narrower shot supremacy than what you'd normally expect of Man City. And I did think they were fair enough. You know, a lot of their key attacking players are at least getting back onto the pitch. And I totally agreed with the decision to drop Ederson as well. You know, I think I mentioned it. I don't think he's been playing very well. So I think Guardiola's made a few tough decisions. It's not going to be an easy game, but, you know, a few weeks ago, you'd have loved to have backed City 8-13, 4-7 here. So I'm going to forgive them their bad month.
Nottingham Forest may well have stayed in the Northwest and in Manchester in particular, because they've gone from facing City at the Etihad to taking on Manchester United at Old Trafford in Saturday evening's 5:30 game. United 8-13, the draw 3-1, and Forest 15-4. Ruben Amorim was keen to point out even before the game against Arsenal in midweek, Mark, that Arsenal were a long way further down the path than Manchester United are in terms of their progress. Have you seen enough in the first two or three games to suggest that United are heading in the right direction?
Sort of short term, yes. We wait and see longer term. That 2-0 defeat at Arsenal wasn't really a disgrace. I mean, they just couldn't deal with the corners. They're not the only team that struggled with that Arsenal tactic over the last couple of seasons. I think the positivity is back at Old Trafford at the moment, and that short-term boost can get them over the line here. I'm going for a Man United win. The one thing I would say about Forest is I think it's really difficult to play two tough away games in such a short period of time, whether they stayed in the Northwest or not. I just think the fatigue factor there is quite important.
Dan, Forest, many people were saying we're in a false position. The recent results maybe have suggested that's the case. How do you see this one?
Yeah, they're coming back to an area of the table they were expected at the start of the season to be in and around, you know, maybe a relegation battle. So they're still going to have a much better season, I think, than lots of people expected. But they are kind of, going on the slide a little bit. I agree with Mark. I think to have to go to City and then play United a couple of days later away is really, really tough. Tough on the legs, mentally and physically on the players. And United, not just since Amorim coming, since Ten Hag left at home, there's been a bit of a mood change. I mean, they've had six home games since then, five wins and the draw against Chelsea. And we know how well Chelsea have been doing. So, I think that, at price, United to win at home 8-13. I don't think that's too bad a bet in this case. I'm just going to go for them to win the game.
Well, it's a busy Sunday of Premier League action. We've got no fewer than three games kicking off at 2:00. We'll start off with a match at Craven Cottage, where Fulham take on Arsenal. Fulham 17-4. It's 11-20 Arsenal and 100-30 the draw. Arsenal, as Mark already said, Dan, again with those set pieces, just causing all sorts of problems. And with Joachim Andersen out at the moment for Fulham, that will be a concern for Marco Silva, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, their attention to detail is, Arsenal is, has been incredible, isn't it, for the last, goes back to, at least 18 months. And it's making a big, big difference for them in games. Still got to play some great football as well, especially now that Odegaard's come, back into the frame. I think this is a tricky game for Arsenal. Obviously, we're talking before Fulham's game, against Brighton. So we've got to, wait to see what comes out of that. But Fulham did take 4 points. I mentioned that off of Arsenal last season. I'm not so sure they're going to get anything here. But I'm going to go with Arsenal look a short enough price to me. So Kai Havertz, who I was tipping him up a lot earlier in the season to score any time. He's found a bit of form lately, scored in two of the last three matches. So I'm going to go with Kai Havertz to score any time.
Mark, just before we get your best bet for this game, I just wanted to ask you about the title race and what you've seen of Arsenal in the last few weeks. Are they the main rivals to Liverpool now?
Yeah, I would say so. They've got a lot of their hard away games out of the way already, and they'll hope that Odegaard, in terms of the big injury, that's out of the way as well for them. You can never tell, and I think that it is going to be a slog of a season, but they've been to Man City, they've been to Villa, they've been to Spurs, they've been to Newcastle, even like West Ham might be sort of a a tricky game later on in the season that they haven't got to contend with because it's a London derby. So, you know, there should be easier points to come on the road for Arsenal. And, you know, I tipped them up at the start of the season, so I was expecting sort of Arsenal to really push City, you know, this time around. The fact that City have dropped off means that, you know, it's definitely not all lost for Arsenal. I get these comments, don't you, some, you know, in sort of other media, usually sort of people saying, oh, if they don't win this, they're out of the title race in like early December. Like, just not, you know, so definitely not out of it. They won't be out of it if they lose at Craven Cottage, even though there'll be this hysteria around it if they do. I think it's a really hard game, actually. I'm going to go for Fulham or draw a double chance. Fulham are riding really high in the expected goals and expected points metrics. And I'm going to throw it out there, you know, having sort of, you know, passed the maths test, if you like, they really passed the eye test as well. I saw them at Spurs last week, and I think they're the best team Tottenham have played this season. I was really impressed with the way that they went about it. They beat Arsenal last season as well at Craven Cottage. The only negative I can see about, well, there's two negatives about this. First of all, Arsenal are a really good side, so it's a hard game for Fulham. The second is they've got a Thursday, Sunday turnaround, and yeah. I always think that's difficult if you're not used to that. But I think that's all factored into the prices. I'm going to go for Fulham not to lose the game. Been very impressed with them.
Okay, well, Portman Road is the next destination. Ipswich against Bournemouth is another of the 2 o'clock games on Sunday. Ipswich 11-5, the draw 14-5, and Bournemouth 21-20. In terms of the odds, Mark, it's, you know, obviously looks like a tight encounter. I just wonder how much that defeat against Palace will have affected Ipswich in midweek.
We've said that a couple of times about Ipswich, and then they're able to just dust themselves down, and you know, they haven't played sort of badly too many games in a row. I'm going to go for a draw in this game. I think, yes, the Palace defeat was bad, but they've had 2 days extra rest, and I think that's really helpful. And, you know, let's not forget, they have drawn at Portman Road with the aforementioned Fulham that I said have been very good, Manchester United, Aston Villa as well. So it's not like, you know, they kind of get turned over easily. And Bournemouth have got a very hard game against Tottenham on Thursday. So how they respond to that, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I suppose this is a welcome boost for Ipswich to have back-to-back home games in a week, Dan.
Yeah, I think they're going to get their first home win of the season here. I think the difference in the schedule is massive. I think to play on Tuesday and Bournemouth have to play on Thursday, you know, 2 days extra preparation, you know, and for a home game as well, don't forget, Bournemouth got to travel, I think is a big deal. I was watching on the Sky when Ipswich were playing against Palace, and Danny Mills was doing the game. He said, "I'm not sure where Ipswich go from here." And I thought it was just one of them overreactions. They've only lost half of their games. You know, as a newly promoted team, they've been competitive in the vast majority of their matches. Not so long ago, they were, you know, winning at Spurs, played really well, drew against Man United, could arguably have won that game. A narrow 1-0 loss at Forest, who we've mentioned are having a really good season. So, yes, they were poor against Palace. It was a bad performance, but I'm not prepared to write them off. I think they've got every chance of staying up this season. Home form still could be key, even though not won yet. And Bournemouth only had 2 away wins, and that lack of time to prepare, I think it's a tough fixture for them. Ipswich draw, no bet for me.
Yeah, I think the fact that Ipswich is just hanging on in there in games sometimes might well prove to be crucial come the end of the season. Ruud van Nistelrooy has taken over as Leicester boss, of course, and they face Brighton on Sunday in another 2 o'clock kickoff. Leicester as big as 4-1 to claim the win. It's 14-5 the draw, 7-10 Brighton. Dan, what are your thoughts, firstly, on van Nistelrooy's appointment?
I think it's one of them where they've kind of gone for the kind of flavour of the month. He'd gone in at United. They played United twice, didn't they? You wonder whether even that's kind of influenced it. I'm not sure he would have been my choice, you know, for this situation that they find themselves in. You know, he may prove to be the right man. Who knows? But, you know, we would, at the moment, not a lot of evidence to go on. They've had one game against West Ham, won the game 3-1. The XG was suggested it should have been 3-1 to West Ham. The shot count was 31-8 in West Ham's favour. And West Ham did look like they did absolutely dominate large periods of the game. And this isn't really new. Leicester have not been performing that well on the stats throughout the season. I still think they're in a a massive relegation battle that I'm not sure they're going to be actually good enough to survive. And Brighton, I really like Brighton. You know, they've had a great start to the season. Only defeats away to Chelsea and Liverpool. The front four that are playing at the moment, Mitoma, Welbeck, João Pedro, just trying to think who I'm missing out. But I think they've got great, big threats, Brighton, going forward. And I think that'll be key here. I'm going to go Brighton to win and both teams to score.
Ruta's
been one that's been playing.
I really like Ruta. Yeah, good signing for them. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you look at Brighton all over the pitch and they do have quality, of course, everywhere. And, you know, I suppose with Leicester, we've said a couple of times, Mark, that maybe they've picked up a few more points than they probably should have done over the course of the season so far. This will give them a lift to start off with, Ruud van Nistelrooy, whether you agree with the appointment or not.
Yeah, I think the fact he's not Steve Cooper is probably the biggest tick in his box, really, with a lot of Leicester fans. I thought they were terrible against West Ham. I mean, West Ham were all over them, 3-0 down. And that can be football sometimes. I'm actually going to go, though, for a draw in this game, just because of the Thursday-Sunday factor for Brighton. They struggled with it last season in Europe. I know he's a different manager and they're not doing it every sort of other week like they were having to when they were in Europe. But does make me nervous, the old Thursday-Sunday slog.
Yeah, I can understand that point of view. The 4:30 game on Sunday would arguably have been, without the Merseyside derby, the game of the weekend as Tottenham play host to Chelsea at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Spurs 9-5. It's 27-10 the draw and 13-10 Chelsea. Despite what Cole Palmer says in his very short interviews, Mark, Chelsea surely have to be title contenders the way they're playing at the moment.
Well, I mean, they're in it until they're not. They're definitely, a team to be feared at the moment. There's no doubt about that. They're playing, I think, with a freedom that maybe they haven't done previously. I don't mean that sort of, like Tottenham maybe, and just piling forward. Yeah. But, within a structure, the kind of everybody knows kind of what's expected of them. I think Maresca's done an excellent job. I was critical might be too strong, but I was on the fence as to whether he would turn out to be a good managerial appointment for Chelsea. But I think he's done very well in the time that he's been there. He seems to have sorted the squad out and they've made 7 changes in midweek. So he's able to freshen things up. The fact that they're in the Conference League, where there are 2 fewer games than what there are, say, in the Europa League and the Champions League in the league phase, and they're barely games for Chelsea, and he's able to rotate 10, 11 players, means that effectively they're only really playing sort of once a week, the first team, quite often. That's a big advantage to them. You know, he's stuck by sort of certain players, the goalkeeper. I know not all Chelsea fans love the keeper, but he's resisted that urge to just keep on, sort of searching for the right balance. He was very confident in his own ability to be able to sort of pick a settled team and stick by them, which the temptation when you've got so many players must be to keep juggling it around. But I think he's managed that very well. Just in terms of this game, the thing that put me off backing Chelsea was just the fact that when they went to Old Trafford recently, that was a Man United team that was there for the taking and they didn't take them. And so they maybe just need to prove it away from home. They haven't taken a big scalp yet. And this would be a big scalp, to Spurs side that beaten Man City at home this season, beaten Aston Villa, inconsistent, but certainly a dangerous team. The way I was looking to get involved in this game is to back Nicholas Jackson to score first each way. I mean, he got the worst hat trick anyone has ever seen in the corresponding fixture last season when, if you remember, Spurs went down to 9 men. He probably should have had about 10 goals that time. But I think he really enjoys playing when there's space in behind. Saw that against West Ham when he sort of destroyed the Hammers in a different London derby. We know that Tottenham do that. They're not going to stop playing that way. And Jackson is the way I'm looking to get with Chelsea in this game.
I think it's fair to say I was livid in midweek when Jackson was dropped. And my fantasy league team took a hammering in terms of that. In terms of Chelsea, though, and talking about being title contenders, I suppose, Dan, this is their biggest test since that defeat at Liverpool as to where they're at.
It's a big test, but I think the timing of it works in their favour. They've played on the Wednesday against a team that's gone down to 10 men in the first half. So you've really and made seven changes for that game, and they've had a stroll through it, really. So you can't see them being affected at all. Whereas Spurs, after that win at City, I just wonder where the injuries that Spurs got, whether the squad can cope. They followed with a game against Roma that was kind of a chaotic 2-2 draw, gave up loads of chances in that game. The Fulham game, they were probably worse still, probably lucky to get out with a 1-1 draw. And you've got then they go to Bournemouth this Thursday with still quite a few injuries to deal with. We don't know what's going to come out of that. Even if they come through unscathed, there's going to be fatigue factors there. And Chelsea, with their, the confidence they got after the 5-1 win and the strength of the squad, as Mark mentioned, their structure and attention to detail that you feel is missing a lot with Spurs, I'd be prepared to back Chelsea to win this game. So Chelsea to win.
Well, the latest round of Premier League fixtures concludes on Monday evening. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff at the London Stadium for West Ham against Wolves. The Hammers 10-11, 27-10 the draw, and 14-5 for Wolves. Dan, this could be arguably whoever loses the job from these two, because they're under severe pressure at the moment, Lopetegui and O'Neill.
Yeah, I mean, I feel under severe pressure trying to find a winner for this one as well, because it's not...
You're not going to get sacked, don't worry.
It's not one that leaps off the page, I've got to admit. So I'm going to sit on the fence here and go with a draw. I just think Wolves, we know they're conceding lots of goals. Usually the reaction when you've got, tonk 4-0 like they have done is to try and at least keep things tight and put up a bit more resistance in the next game. West Ham played a lot of decent football against Leicester, but lost the game, so they're under big pressure. The crowd's going to be waiting to get on their backs, if they don't start, super well against Wolves, who, as I've said, are probably going to look to keep things tight. So I just think it's going to be a very edgy, nervy game, possibly low scoring. So I'll go with a draw.
How do you predict a team like Wolves, Mark? They go 4-1 winning away at Fulham. And we did mention on here that probably that flattered them a little bit. But then they go and lose 4-0, an Everton team who've been struggling for goals. How's this one going to go, do you think?
I'm going to disagree with that. I'm going to go over 2.5. I just don't think either team can be trusted defensively. 11 of Wolves, 14 now have gone over 2.5. I appreciate they probably will want to tighten up. I'm not sure they've got the players to do it. And you said that whoever loses this game could be sacked, Warren. I would question whether both will be in charge by Monday. I was getting text messages yesterday asking about a certain manager out of work, and he's been linked with West Ham, and so there might be some inside info coming there that West Ham are definitely having a look round at somebody that's managed in the Bundesliga previously. Their sporting director, of course, used to work in the Bundesliga, so that might not be a big surprise. But over 2.5. But agree with Dan. Wouldn't be a game where I've got a strong opinion.
No, difficult to call, it's fair to say. Up next here on The Assist, though, we're going to turn our attentions to the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Well, a game of the week in the EFL that we've selected is in League Two, and it's a big battle at the top end of the table as Port Vale play host to Walsall in one of Saturday's early kickoffs. It's a 12:30 start at Vale Park. Vale are 31-20 to win this. The draw 12-5. And Walsall 17-10. The way that both of these two teams have been playing recently, Dan, they'd both be confident of being in and around at least the playoffs come the end of the season.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if both of them actually went up automatically. I know there's a lot of football to be played. It's early in the season, but I don't think it's a fluke that they're both up there. Port Vale are a big club for this level, and they've got good backing behind them as well. Brought a lot of good players in the summer. They'll probably spend again, I would say, in January. So I would think that they'll certainly have what it takes to go deep. But I think if you're having a bet for the title, though, right now, looking at the squads and the way the teams are playing, I would go with Walsall. Matt Sadler, as a manager there, has just done such a good job. They finished last season really strongly, and they've carried it on. They've got a really good, well-organised side. You look on the metrics, there's nothing fortunate. They're top on the XG, 33.07, top on the goal score, 33. So they're following their XG almost identically with the goals. Pretty hard to play against and solid defensively as well. So now I would I would say both at every chance of going up. I mentioned that Walsall have been more convincing lately. I'm going to actually go with them in this game on the draw, no bet, at a shade of odds on. They've got a lot of threats in the side, play quite direct at times. Jamil Matt, experienced striker up front, with Nathan Lowe on loan from Stoke alongside him. They're causing a lot of defensive problems, and Port Vale had a few, you know, issues at the game at Cheltenham on Tuesday. Got a 1-1 draw, a very last-ditch goal, but not a brilliant performance from them. You know, going into a game against a much stronger side, Walsall. So Walsall for me on the draw, no bet.
Okay, well, we'll get into Dan's EFL selections in a moment. But it comes this time of the season where I just wonder whether chairmen are getting a little bit edgy and whether they, you know, see their teams struggling towards the bottom end of the table. We've seen Hull decide to part company with their manager, Coventry in the Championship as well. We've seen the Northampton manager has resigned today. There's a lot of managerial changes at the moment, Dan, and I'll bring you in on this, Mark, as well. It's that time of the season where, you know, I suppose chairmen do get a little bit itchy and are a bit concerned.
Yeah, well, I think the key thing is for this stage of the season is that you're thinking probably about January and who you want to bring in player-wise, and you want the manager in place, particularly if you haven't got that sort of sporting director structure. You want the manager in place so that they can assess the squad and then identify the weaknesses in January. So that makes sense. I just think that overall now there's just too much, and we've part of the problem we've got putting out content left, right and centre on the Racing Post, but there's just too much content around football. Every game that a team doesn't win now is seen as a disaster. Every time they win, you know, the manager's the best manager that's ever lived. And like, it's just, it's impossible to go on like that. Used to be you judge people over 10, 12 games. Now, you know, people just jump so much from game to game. It gives me a headache.
It does. And Dan, I suppose as well, at this crucial stage of the season, it's a very well-used phrase in the media, the hectic Christmas schedule. But it's true, there's so many games back-to-back. Well, I'm not entirely sure it makes a big change to swap managers at this stage.
Well, but this is what I was actually going to mention, that you've had a period with international breaks, which is affecting EFL football a lot more than it used to, the fixtures, you know, reducing the fixtures in that period. And the FA Cup first and second round, there's not been a huge amount of games recently. Now the games are really starting to, there's a lot coming thick and fast. I wonder if this is the reason that now is the time. If you're thinking of making a move, make the move now, because you've got all these fixtures coming up and you want to have the right man in charge. I agree with Mark that part of it will be looking towards the window, but part of it is that there's so many points to play for in such a short space of time coming up.
Okay, well, that's our thoughts in terms of managerial situations. Let's get back to Dan's EFL selections then. He always gives us three, of course, for the weekend ahead. And where are we starting this week, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to go start off in the Championship with Norwich away to QPR. I think Norwich are up to ninth now after beat Plymouth 6-1 at home and Luton 4-2 at home. Clearly, they're going to be high on confidence. Their away form isn't so great, but they got a 2-2 draw at West Brom last time, so that was a strong performance for them. They're really, I mean, Borja Sainz, top scorer in the league. I mean, everybody knows how fantastic he's been with 15 goals, 5 clear of Josh Maggio, the next best. But the centre-forward as well, Ante Konac, I don't know if I pronounced that right, a Croatian centre-forward, he's started to hit form as well with 3 goals in his last 2 games. Very well-taken goals as well. I watched QPR at Watford last weekend. They kind of went there and did the basics, really. Had the better chance in the first half, then sat back and were kind of hanging on for most of the second half. You know, few efforts on the break. But I wasn't particularly impressed with them. Didn't carry a great deal of threat up front. I think they're kind of there for the taking, really, for Norwich. So Norwich to win this game. I'll follow with dropping into League Two. I'm going to go with Colchester, big improving team, draw no bet, away to Notts County. Notts County got quite a few injuries at the moment to key players. Dan Crowley, who's a creative midfield player for them, and Jody Jones has been out for a while. He's a big player for them. The defence, which had improved, has kind of weakened a bit recently. 4-3, they lost away to Peterborough in the FA Cup. 3-2 away to Walsall in the week. So that's a bit of a concern for them. And they're up against a Colchester team that are now unbeaten in 6, got 4-0 win at home to Swindon on Tuesday. I know Swindon are having a terrible time at the moment, but Colchester, with Awara Edwards and Samson Tavide fit again, look a different proposition now. I think they'll get at least a draw here at Notts County, and I actually think that every chance they'll win. So Colchester on the draw, no bet. Finishing off in the same league, going to go with MK Dons, the form team in the EFL, 6 wins in a row at the moment to win at Barrow. Never that easy to win at Barrow. I mean, we talk about the wind and the conditions. There's often a lot of wind there. But, I mean, MK at about 2-1 to win this game. I think that's a really good bet. They won 3-0 at home to Chesterfield on Tuesday. Chesterfield were reduced to 10 men early on, so quite an easy time of it there. Barrow been on a very difficult run. No win in 8 in the league. Into the bottom half now. I can't believe that MK Dons are outsiders for this one. I'll take them to win.
Yep, so just a reminder, the EFL treble selection for Dan Charles this weekend. Norwich, Colchester draw, no bet, and MK Dons. Time to turn our attentions now to Mark and his bet builder. So, Mark, which game are we looking at in terms of this week's bet builder?
Yeah, we're going to White Hart Lane for Tottenham against Chelsea, or 3-point lane, as the Chelsea fans often refer to it. Going for over 10.5 corners in the game. Spurs very good in the corner market, even before the match against Bournemouth on Thursday. 112 corners, which is the second most in the Premier League, but they've been giving up quite a lot recently. Fulham had 11 last week, Man City had 9 the game before as well. So expecting a game with a lot of corners. We already mentioned Jackson in the individual game, but I'm going for Jackson to score. He just loves it when there's space in behind. I still think he's got a lot to learn when it comes to maybe the build-up and sort of getting involved there. But, you know, if you put balls in behind, he's one of the biggest threats in the Premier League and was rested for that game against Southampton. So, you know, be up against a weakened Spurs defence. And Bissouma to be carded is the third leg of it. Being up against Cole Palmer, yeah, it's really difficult for any defensive midfielder. And Bissouma doesn't get a huge amount of protection in there. He's got 6 cards already this season, including, which I thought was quite interesting, both games against Man City, a team that, you know, would be of a similar enough standard to Chelsea to think that he's got like a similar job on. It's about 14-1 for over 10.5 corners, Jackson to score and Bissouma to be carded.
Well, that's Mark's bet builder then. We're going to turn our attentions now to his prop shop selections for this weekend. Are we sticking with the same game, Mark?
No, going to Selhurst Park here. So Kevin De Bruyne, I like 2 markets actually here for De Bruyne. Over 0.5 shots on target and over 1.5 shots on target. The over sort of 0.5 is 5-6. He had 3 on target against Nottingham Forest. Even when he played a combined 36 minutes against Feyenoord and Liverpool, he still managed to have a shot on target, taking a lot of responsibility. And he's obviously been injury hit this season, but I just think the 9-2 on him to have at least 2 shots on target is definitely of interest as well. He's averaging 1.31 per 90 this season. Obviously, you know, he's not playing very many minutes, but when he is, he's having enough digs to make that bet of interest. And you know, Crystal Palace are quite a tight team defensively, so it might be that sort of that edge of the area, sort of 20, 25 yards out, where De Bruyne is so effective, is where they sort of get most of their shots off.
Okay, so Kevin De Bruyne, the man to watch, Mark feels, in that game between Crystal Palace and Manchester City. We're going to go to the assist treble now. One selection from all 3 of us for this weekend. Dan, we'll start with your pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Norwich at QPR. I mentioned Norwich full of confidence after them big wins against Plymouth and Luton. I mean, they're against a QPR side. They're the lowest scorers in the Championship. The only team in the division not to win at home. So Norwich to win that one.
What about you, Mark? What's your treble selection?
Man City to win at Crystal Palace. City have won 8 of their last 10 at Selhurst. 4 of those last 6 have been by at least 2 goals. I know they're not in the greatest shape at the moment, but I think the confidence boost that they would have got from that win over Forest can see them to a comfortable enough victory at Crystal Palace.
And I'm going to drop into the Championship like Dan, and I'm going with Sheffield Wednesday, who are about 10-11 to beat Preston in their Saturday's early kickoff. Wednesday are up to 12th in the table now, having struggled badly earlier in the season. It's 3 wins and a draw in their last 5 games, back-to-back away wins against Hull and Derby. But Preston, really poor on the road. Now 9 without a win overall, and they've not won away in the league this season. And I think Sheffield Wednesday or prove too strong. So Norwich, Manchester City and Sheffield Wednesday is the assist treble. And we'll conclude this week's assist with the naps from Mark and Dan. And Mark, we'll start with your nap.
Yeah, I'm going to Goodison Park. I'm going for Liverpool to win and under 3.5 goals in the derby against Everton. Everton did score 4 times against Wolves in midweek, but before that, this is a real powder puff team that's struggling to create chances. And when they did create them, they struggled even more to convert them. So don't see many goals from the home team in it. I expect a low scoring, frantic game. They tend to always sort of play out like that. But the extra class of Liverpool can see them to 3 points.
And Dan, what's your nap for this week?
Yeah, the League Two bet. I'm going to go with third place MK Dons to win away at a mid-table Barrow. I mentioned them 6 league wins in a row for MK Dons. They included away wins at Morecambe 3-1 and Grimsby 3-1. Shows that they can handle a long away trip. You know, this is certainly one of those. But Barrow, no winning 8. 1-1 draw away to Bradford, which was a decent result on Tuesday, but also a hard game. MK Dons had an easier game playing against 10-man Chesterfield on Tuesday. MK Dons to win.
Okay, well, big thanks to both Dan and Mark for all of their input again this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. And if you are a golf fan, don't forget Steve Palmer every Tuesday with a sweet spot as well. We'll be back on Monday with a Champions League assist special. But until then, enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.